I remember that you told me you changed your name. Like, that's your legal name now?
Absolutely. 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 Changed my name directly. I believe that if you're going to own something, trademark it.
Even your name.
Because at the end of the day, you can become somebody super successful, and I can turn around and I can trademark actually your name, and I can get paid off for everything that your name does. Unfortunately, people do that all the time. And so if you have any type of level of success, or even like this podcast, you want to trademark the podcast name, your name, so nobody successful can come and like, you know what, person's doing a good job, let me buy actually his rights. So every time somebody asks you to speak or do anything, that's my intellectual property, even though it's your name. Now you have to actually pay me a check and I can sue you for it. It's very unfortunate. But yeah, when you trademark something, you own it. So before you change your name, do anything, make sure you trademark the name you're changing to, and make sure you trademark your business name or whatever have you.
Hey, what's the name of this f***ing show?
I Talk Great.
I Talk Great.
Is your hair thinning and not growing back to its fullest potential? Well, let me refer you to the Action Hair Care products, right? Angie and her daughter, Allie, has 21 plus years of experience, and they specialize in hair growth products, customized hair color, deep moisturizing treatments, and updated hair care routines that are natural and cruelty-free. So if you don't want to end up like me, let me tell you what you do. They're going to promise to give you the best experience for full potential for hair growth, right? So get your papers and pens out right now, and I need you to head over to www.actionhaircareproducts.com. I'm going to say it again, www.actionhaircareproducts.com. And if you're local and you're in the area, you can head over to Deco Drive Beauty Supply in Miramar Parkway, Florida. Also, LA Beauty Supply in North Lauderdale, Florida. White Diamonds Beauty in Fort Pierce. So if you're in that area, head out there to White Diamonds Beauty. And Glam's Beauty Supplies in Port St. Lucie. So let them know Mr. Williams from I Talk Great sent you. Now back to the episode. Yeah.
Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams, I Talk Gray, where we talk about the gray areas of business because it's never just black and white. I am here with a heavy hitter today, Dr. Credit, my man Lance. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. We definitely had to get you in the building, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Pleasure to be here, man. Love what you're doing. I'd love to be able to bless the presence, you know, here on your show. You're doing a pretty good job here, and love everything you're doing, and
I appreciate that.
Shoot for the stars, man. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Definitely shooting for the stars. But how you doing, brother?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. Life is great. You know, things are moving at a very high level and perspective. And I'm very, very humble, obviously, from everything that I've accomplished, because there's so much more that we have to actually do.
Yeah, man, I see you bling blinging on the wrist. Bling, bling. Heavy, how am I?
Just a little something, something.
You know, a little light work, you know.
A little something, something. Absolutely.
Okay, man. So let's just get it straight out the park, right? But before we do that, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Northern California, Sacramento, California. Shout out to Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah, from Sacramento.
Is that California. The Bay or L.A.?
Yeah, that's close to the Bay. It's Northern California. Yeah.
Okay.
It's close to the Bay, but not quite. You know, you can't say you from the Bay and you from Sac. That's like fighting words, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel you. Hey, we don't want, I see you in neutral colors. You
know? Certainly.
We don't want no problems.
Absolutely.
Okay, so absolutely. What was your upbringing like?
So my upbringing was actually great. You know, I was raised in a two-parent actually household. You know, my father was in politics. And my mother was actually in banking. So, you know, my father came from politics and started doing business, specifically real estate, outside of what he was doing in the working for the state capitol in Sacramento, California. So, you know, I learned a lot from business, actually, from him coming up, you know, wearing a suit, talking professional, you know, connecting with people from a business point of view and standpoint. So that came from him. And from the financial side, the banking side, I kind of got that from my mom. And so, you know, raising a two-family actually household, you know, they taught us actually very well. Not only just about business, but, you know, morals and ethics and integrity. So, yeah, that was all great.
Okay. So do you think it's a better outcome for the child when they're raised in a two-family household?
Well, I mean, not necessarily, because here's the shift in the story. When I was 16 years old, my father passed away. So he passed away, and then I appreciate that. And then my mother, she actually remarried at the time, and then my sister and I, we kind of split. So
Your mom remarried?
Yeah, she remarried, yeah.
Okay.
My mother remarried, and then I was 16 years old, and my mother kind of was like, well, you're about to be an adult, so here goes some money.
16?
Yep, here goes a car, here goes a house, and you're on your own.
Hold on. So your mom gave you a house, a car, at 16, but you still in high school, though. Exactly. Like, what, 11th grade, 12th grade?
I was actually in the 12th grade. I graduated early when I was 17, so I was in the
12th
grade.
Okay, so you were smart.
Yeah. We're going to get into that, absolutely.
Okay. Wow, but that's crazy. So your mom, she set you up already to get out, or do you think she was just setting you up to say, hey, you know what, it's time for you to experience some real-life type things?
Well, I think that, you know, she was... just not to get in the relationship, but she was always like living for my father. And so unfortunately, when he passed away, she was like, okay, well, I'm going to go look after your sister. But you, you're about to be a man. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and let you spread your wings. And, you know, really? As I matured, I'm so grateful actually for that, because it developed me and helped me construct to the person I am actually today.
So what did you do? So, okay, did she give you a house or a condo?
It was a three-bedroom, two-bath house.
What, and, at 16?
Yeah, 16 years old. And it was interesting because when I was in high school, you know, my original goal was to go to college to be a physician.
Okay.
A pediatric neurosurgeon. That's where my intelligent, smart stuff comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I had two decisions. Either I was going to act like a teenager and do teenage things, have my own house and car.
I mean, yeah.
Or I was going to be focused. And everybody thought I was going to go the other way. I was going to do everything that was wrong. Everything was crazy. I actually became extremely disciplined. Disciplined enough to actually finish high school and still was living on my own at the time. Now I'm actually an adult. And this is probably the first time that I really took massive action on school, because I always thought school was like whatever. I played football in high school. I didn't think it was all school, okay, was all that. So, you know, when I got the opportunity to really push in college to decide I was going to be actually a brain surgeon for pediatrics for babies, I worked really very hard and did really well. Actually, you know, I had a 3.8 GPA in college. I've never seen all those A's on my report card. I was actually set up to go into the military, and I was going to go through college and do all that route, and everything shifted with me my sophomore year in college. That's where the shift happened with me.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell, you want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here's what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. So you 16 years old, right?
Right.
Your mom gave you a house, a crib,
right?
Sorry, she gave you a house, a car. My bad. She gave you a house, a car.
Right.
Why you didn't, where you think this discipline came from? How you didn't have no honey dips over at the casa?
Completely understand. Yeah, my father raised me very, very strict coming out of the womb. I mean, he always told me that I had a bigger responsibility that was bigger than myself. I didn't really understand that
until
he passed away. So it was like when he passed away, a light bulb switched with me, and I said, okay, everything that you've been preparing me for, I'm really, really going to take action. I mean, I kind of was, you know, a piece of crap kid. I was always getting in trouble, you know, not doing well in school. But, you know, it's kind of when he died, the shift happened with me, and I just woke up and became extremely disciplined.
Wow.
Extremely disciplined. But it was interesting because my discipline in high school wasn't the same. It was like, okay, I'm just going to be disciplined my senior year, just to finish school, get C's. But when I went into college, that's when my massive work ethic that I saw that he always had, and all the businesses that he did, and when he was doing political events, and when he was working, you know, in the state capitol, I saw his work ethic, and that's when it came out of me when I was in college.
Do you think that came because of his passing and you wanted to kind of honor him in a way?
Yeah, it was interesting because I felt like I was doing everything really for him. Especially from, you know, going to college and, you know, going to be, you know, a physician. That was actually for him. That's where that work ethic became. But when I started, you know, living for me, when I transitioned actually from college, we'll talk about that here shortly, that's when I really started putting the work ethic for things I wanted to do. And that's when I started to really capture some success for me.
Okay, so you left high school, you finished, which was awesome. You're in college now.
Yes.
So what's happening there?
So in college, I was a biochemistry major. Remember, I was studying to actually, you know, be a science major so I can go to medical school and then go into the military. That was I was going to be a doctor. That was going to be key.
Yes.
I was my second year in actually college, and I was, you know, still going to school every day, you know, taking, you know, a lot of actually courses, but I was working as a personal trainer at the same time. And this guy comes in to the gym. He's my age. And he was like, hey, man, what are you doing? So I'm in school, about to be a doctor. He said, well, what is going to be the salary that you're going to earn? I said, oh, about $300,000. He said, I just made that last month. So I was like, hold on, pause. Like, again,
wow,
you're 20.
Pause. I'm
20. You know, hold on. That doesn't make any sense.
He made that in a month.
Right. So, again, he's 19. So I was like, what do you mean made that in a month? He said, I'm doing something called real estate wholesaling. And I was like, what the? I don't know what that means. So he started kind of explaining it to me. Like, oh, you just get a house, put under contract, you assign it, you make money, and, you know, I have a whole team and everything. So I was like, get out of here. I didn't think anything of the guy. I saw him again 2 months later, and he pulled up to the gym in a Lamborghini. Now he has my attention. I'm like, okay.
He pulled up in a Lambo.
Right.
He, like, hey.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm like, you have my attention now. So
yeah.
I was able to say, look, tell me about what this thing really is. And he said, look, man, because you didn't believe me, I'm not going to sit here and teach you. I was like, okay, but I'm going to give you a book. So he gave me a book called The Wholesaling Bible. I read the book, and within a day, I called him back. I said, look, if this is real, I'm going to just tear this up. I'm going to do extremely well with it.
So you read the book in a day?
I read the book in a day. It was 140 pages. Now, remember, I'm still a science major. I'm a biochemistry major in college. I'm used to reading 80 to 100 pages a day when studying.
Okay, so, okay, because so I was about to call cap. But, all right. Absolutely. This is something that you was already doing.
I was already doing. It was easy for me to transition to actually read this, to take a look at this.
Okay, okay.
But for me, quite frankly, honestly, so when I read it, I said, man, this is pretty awesome. You know, let me take this to the next level. And he introduced me to the guy that taught him. And the guy's only 2 years older. And I'm like, wait, oh, these guys are young. You know, but the interesting thing, everybody thinks that your blessing is supposed to look like you. The guy that had the Lamborghini who I met was Asian. The guy who taught him was actually white. So everybody, a lot of the times, you know, not just, you know, with our race, but other people, they think it's supposed to look like you. Just get the message, then come back and bring your people up.
That's, no, that's true.
That's kind of what you need to do. So
I agree with you.
So for me, you know, I went to his mentor and he started like kind of showing me the ropes and teaching me. And then I started making some good money with it. And it was kind of good enough for me to let me just walk away from school.
But okay, yeah, so you were... What level were you at in college when you decided to walk away?
I was going into my junior year, and it's actually crazy because that next following summer, I was going to be taking the MCAT to go into medical school. So going into my junior year is actually when I left college.
But, okay, so when you said, hey, I'm leaving college, I'm gone, were you already making funds or did you just see it?
Yeah, so no, for me, I made, what was it, about like, was like $4,000 a month for 6 months straight.
What?
And for me, that was a lot.
$4,000 a month?
Yeah, I mean, for a college student, that was a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And, but the crazy thing about it is that I went to all my professors. I said, look, I know you guys don't understand why I'm leaving school, but I'm not going to read as hard as I ever read in college. Funny joke. I'm not going to write as hard as I ever wrote. I'm not going to study as hard as I ever wrote. Studied, excuse me. So I'm business is going to be way easier, way smoother. That was my point of view and my perspective. But unfortunately, that was not the case.
No, facts. So, okay, so why should you always chase mastery and not money?
Well, see, the key thing actually about that is because, you know, first of all, money is just a physical paper. It's about to disappear here in a second.
Really? You think so?
I really believe so.
Okay.
Everything's going to digital currency. It's already happening, you know, around the world. And, you know, our dollar here in the United States is dwindling every second. So it's about to disappear. Not going to change how we do business, but just cash is going to be obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, mastery is everything because, you know, money can come and go. And, you know, money is a transfer from one party to the next. It's not even yours. So if money is coming from the Federal Reserve, goes to the bank, gets lent to you, you give it to somebody else, it keeps turning in this circle. If it keeps turning actually in this circle, stop worrying about trying to chase it. Chase the actual skill so you can obviously bring capitalization in on a consistent basis. That's why you have to chase mastery.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you just focus on just the money, nothing's going to happen. Focus on what are the principles that you need to actually attract the money. What is the skill set that you need to be able to consistently be able to bring in the money? And then what kind of people do you need around you that's going to help facilitate that for you? Because you can't do anything without having the right people, mentors in your life.
No, facts. So the person that you said you learned from, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said it was an Asian.
No, it was actually it was a white guy. So
okay, yeah, so a Caucasian.
The Asian guy introduced me as the Caucasian
and then
guy.
He introduced you to the Asian guy.
Yeah, no, so the Asian guy introduced me to the Caucasian guy.
Okay, the Asian guy introduced you to the Caucasian guy.
Correct.
Sorry. So this knowledge that you acquired from them, how much you came out of your pocket for that? Or were they just saying, hey, we just going to take a chance on
you? No, that's actually a great question. The guy who actually taught me real estate, he charged me $10,000. Yeah, $10,000, yep. He charged me $10,000. So back then.
You in college now.
Yes.
Where you get his 10 bands from?
Back then in college, they were giving out a lot of student loans and they would give you the money too. Now, I don't know how they do it now, but I was getting anywhere from like $15,000 to $20,000 per semester. And I had 16-week actually semesters.
So you use your student loan.
I did use my
from
student
college,
loan from college.
And say, yo, I'm getting ready to give it to him.
Correct.
What made you even want to take that type of chance, though?
Well, see, for me, it was just the feeling I had. You know, I was like, you know, I'm working really hard in college, and then I see an example. This is very key. Mm-hmm. We believe what we can see. Not just what we see from the physical, but also what we can see from the spiritual, where our connection is. And something, you know, that I was connected vibrated high enough for me to say, you know what, take a stronger look at this. This guy is, you know, the same age as you. He's making money. And I was making jokes. I was like, he doesn't look better than me. He's not smarter than me. Mm-hmm. He probably doesn't have my work ethic. So if he can do it, I can do it. So it was kind of, you know, why I took the opportunity. It was kind of for selfish reasons. I was more egotistical when I did it. But I had no idea that it was going to yield me into bigger and better opportunities, which it did.
Wow. Okay. So you said student loan, right? So did you have to pay that $10,000 back? I mean, because you said loan.
Right. No. Fast forward, which we'll get into, when I got into the credit industry, mm-hmm. I was able to take the student loans off of my credit report. So, yeah, that was very fortunate for me to learn how to do that and actually accomplish that.
Okay. We definitely going to have to get into that. Because you said you was able to take them off your credit report, but correct. Did you have to still pay it back, though?
Yes, no. I've never paid back a dime on my student loan. So even if you Fannie Mae, you guys are hearing me right now, I haven't done it. never paid back a dime on my student loans.
What?
Nope, not at all.
All right. So do you think success have to have receipts?
Yeah. I think if, you know, documentation beats conversation, I think that, you know, anybody can even look a certain way, talk a certain way, but mm-hmm. you have to be able to show different things that you've accomplished. I think the most important thing with me is that, you know, you can believe, but you want to verify, you know, and I think that's the most important thing. And because I've went through so many different things coming up in my career, coming out of real estate and going to different business ventures mm-hmm. where, you know, I've lost money and, you know, I've chosen the wrong business partners and I've gotten to situations I had to get myself out of financially. But most importantly, actually with that, they were all lessons to me. I don't think you ever lose. I think you learn. And, you know, if you actually are unfortunate on certain circumstances where you lose money or, you know, you get what they call, you know, scam and this and that. I don't believe in that word, but a lot of people do. And it's just something that you have to just wake up on and be more sophisticated enough so it won't actually happen again. I think
okay.
that's key.
So you just said something there, right? Because I did have a question lined up, but mm-hmm. you said you don't believe in the word scam. Because mm-hmm. I'm not going to say as you can. There's a lot of you know, taboo or there's a lot of things circulating around now with scam.
Right.
With all these so-called gurus right. and you know, you take the 50 grand and you put it in the LLC, your right. LLC flips to this and you get your DBA and your DBA. So why don't you believe in the word scam?
Well, everything is a learning lesson directly here for you. So I think that when you get into a situation and you work actually with somebody, it's one thing for somebody to talk about it. It's one thing for somebody to show the receipts of that they've done it. Mm-hmm. It's another thing for them to show the people who they've helped and how they became successful. Mm-hmm. See, I can be successful as I want to be, showing you the receipts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean a damn thing. I need to be successful in helping other people and helping them to do what I've done. That's the actual verification that I look for when I'm looking to choose a mentor or work with somebody. So if I'm learning and I don't know that, and I'm, you know, working with somebody, someone's giving me some information and maybe I don't get that loan. Maybe I put the $50,000 there and I did something wrong in my LLC, whatever I did. I'm getting closer every single time. So, you know, a lot of people say that college is a scam. And to some definition, I can understand that and I can agree with that because it's like sometimes you don't get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's all a learning lesson to me. Because you can go to college and you can meet your spouse. You can go to college and go meet your business partner. You can go to college and actually go meet that opportunity that you're looking to do. So everything is more experience, actually, for me. But, you know, it comes to experience and evaluated experience. Okay. You can have experience in something and nothing come out of it. You can have evaluated experience on it. Now you move differently.
So when you say evaluated, what do you mean by that?
So, for example, if there's experience or something that you had, you didn't get the outcome, evaluate that situation. Which state of mind was I in when I actually chose to work with that person and get this information? Was my heart actually in the right place?
Yeah.
Did I have the right people around me that were supporting me when I was actually trying to achieve and accomplish this journey? So many different things. Where was my mind spiritually, you know, at that same time? This is very important. Was I eating healthy? You know, because what you put in your mouth, this is very important. And what you eat and how you exercise, that's going to influence your mental capacity, your decision. So you have to look at everything.
Are you vegan?
Oh, no. not vegan at all. But I mean, it's just knowing that. So
Yeah. You understand. Yeah, okay.
So I know if I'm about to make a huge financial decision or I'm evaluating an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, I'm probably not going to eat red meat probably for that whole entire time that I'm evaluating the opportunity. I'm going to eat very clean and very lean because I want to be able to make sure I'm in a sound mind when I'm making action decision. I'm not really a big meat eater, just in general, but I'm just saying at that time, I'm really going to make sure that
No, you're right. You know, you make a lot of sense with that. When I was listening to Nipsey Hussle one time, and he said, you know, he was getting into another level of his life, is when he decided to cut back a lot on marijuana.
Uh-huh.
Right? Not to say it's a bad thing, but he just wanted to make sure his mind was clear while he made certain decisions.
Correct.
Right? So when did you come into this character, or I don't know if... I don't really want to say character, but when did you come into the name of Dr. Credit?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So I transitioned out of real estate, and
so that's where you started.
Yeah, I started
in real estate.
I started in real estate. Okay. So I came back to it in a bigger perspective. So transitioned out of real estate and started actually working for some large sales companies. I wanted to improve actually my skill set. So I went from, you know, real estate to doing, you know, door-to-door sales. Now, even though I was still making money in real estate, I did this to humble myself because I wanted to get better. I'm a big person. I like to put myself in challenging situations, even though I'm doing well, so I can get better. So I didn't start doing, you know, different jobs on the side and actually working with companies. So when I say I worked sales jobs, everything was commission. It was just like referral based. So if I, you know, somebody, you know, wanted me to refer them to actually this business venture or this opportunity or something of that nature, I would get a referral check from that. But it required me to actually talk to leads and talk to more people.
So you like the middleman.
Right. But I saw that as a job because everything is everything is a job unless you actually have payroll, unless you have employees. A lot of these gurus talk about, I'm a business owner, You're not a business owner unless you have payroll. Not a business owner if you don't have employees. W-2 employees actually at that fact.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have the right business entity structure. I mean, so for me, I even though I was doing real estate, I was still working a job. Even though I was the middleman, you know, doing, you know, obviously referring people to other business ventures, I was still working a job. I didn't really come into business until I actually came significantly into credit. So, you know, I got involved in actually credit here in the past actually few years. We're in 2023 now. It was like around 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people were getting into it, but I wanted to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to just get into it and just, you know, repair people's credit. I wanted to understand that credit is just a stepping stone. So who could I find that understands credit? So actually, funny story, I actually started seeking out lenders and started talking to them. I started talking to credit repair experts. I'm not talking about people like your gurus online. I'm talking about these large companies that had these credit repair companies over the past 20, 30 years. And I was doing what I had to do to actually get the attention of the CEO. If I had to pay him for actually lunch, I would do that. If I had to actually, you know, wash somebody's car, did that one time, I would do that too as well.
Wash somebody's car to get knowledge?
Yeah. Whatever I had to do. I'm always just a natural born hustler. So whatever I had to do to be able to get the information from the person I did. And, you know, that led me to some powerful, powerful information that connected with some significant people. And, you know, I was able to learn that, you know, hey, when you're doing credit repair, it's bigger than just like disputing letters. You have to actually understand what these codes are. You have to understand like how to remove things from profiles so things won't come back. You have to understand how to utilize credit with banking. So I went deep into it. So I studied it probably for like a good 6 months.
Okay.
And then I went into it. And then when I went into it, I was excited because I wasn't going into it like everybody else. I was going to it like, hey, get your credit right, get your entity structure correct, you know, get your trust, you know. It was different things that I did that was different than everybody else. So that's where the doctor credit came into play. I always wanted to be a doctor, but I thought I was going to be a doctor.
So you added it.
Yeah, I added it to the credit side.
Yes. So when we was having a conversation, I remember that you told me you changed your name. Like, that's your legal name now?
Absolutely. 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 Changed my name directly. I believe that if you're going to own something, trademark it. You know,
even your name.
Even your name. Because at the end of the day, you can become somebody super successful, and I can turn around and I can trademark actually your name, and I can get paid off for everything that your name does. Unfortunately, people do that all the time. And so if you have any type of level of success, or even like this podcast, you want to trademark the podcast name, your name, so nobody successful can come and like, you know what, person's doing a good job, let me buy actually his rights. So every time somebody asks you to speak or do anything, that's my intellectual property, even though it's your name. Now you have to actually pay me a check and I can sue you for it. It's very unfortunate. But yeah, when you trademark something, you own it. So before you change your name, do anything, make sure you trademark the name you're changing to, and make sure you trademark your business name or whatever have you.
Wow, this man is dropping bars straight out the gate. I hope y'all getting your papers and your pens down and getting all this knowledge. Okay, so when it comes to the credit, right, how can a person like boost their credit score? You know, you always hear people say, yo, let's boost your credit score.
Right, right.
How can that happen?
I want to come off with this. You know, your credit score is only a 20% determining factor of you getting funded or you even getting qualified to buy a house or anything you're doing. So
really?
Yeah.
How so? Hold on.
Yeah.
Your credit score
What? But you're supposed to have your credit right before you go look for a property and things of that nature.
So your credit score is only one element of your credit. It's really a credit profile. It's actually what's on your credit report, what's your payment history, what's your utilization rate, how much you owe on your credit, what available credit that you have, obviously how long you've had actually a particular credit, and how many positive accounts that you have. That's more important than your credit score. So somebody can have an 800 credit score because they have a $500 credit card that they have paid off at $400. And also they have maybe a $1,000 credit card. They paid it $800 and they made their payments on time. They owe less debt and the credit bureaus are going to report because it's a computer that you have an 800 credit score. I can go into a bank with a 620 credit score with $1 million loans on my credit report that I've actually half paid, that I'm making payments on it, and the bank will trust me with $1 million more than that person because they can see on my report that I've actually taken on $1 million.
More than the person at the 800?
More than the person that's at 800. So that's why you don't just want to have a good credit score. You want to have a strong foundation as well. You want both. Now, not saying that you want to just have a strong foundation, not a good credit score.
No, like you say, both.
You want to have both. So, I mean, different things you can do to increase your credit score. You can remove negative derogatory items off your credit report. You can.
Does that really work though?
It does because
we hear them all say, "Man, we're gonna remove those negative reports off your account. Give us 6 months."
Right. To a certain degree, it does, but it's not the end game. I mean, a real cheat code, a real finesse thing that a lot of these gurus are doing out here is that they're basically increasing people's credit score by just adding them as authorized users to actually their credit card or even somebody else's credit card. I mean, if I add you to six of my different credit cards actually right now that I have in good standing that I have over 10 years, your score is going to shoot over 150 points because you're adopting my payment history. You're adopting, you know, obviously, you know, the amount that I have on my credit cards and you're adopting my utilization. So it's a big cheat code when it comes to the score. That's why the score doesn't mean a dang thing.
But what happens when, okay, so let's say you take me off as an authorized user.
Correct.
Does that now have an impact on my score?
So when you take somebody off as an authorized user, the person's score can actually drop or it can actually stay the same because it's not reporting to the credit report. This is what I'm talking about. Building the credit profile is so important. You can't just rely on authorized users. You have to remove negative credit from your credit profile. Yeah, you can add authorized users, but you need to establish positive credit. And there's so many different things that you can do to establish that and develop good habits.
Okay. So if you do get removed, you have to make sure you're establishing the positive credit so you can stay at that level.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I was doing my due diligence, man, and I saw you on OnlyFans.
Absolutely.
What you doing on there, man? Like, well, what?
It's a subscription-based business. You know, I utilize OnlyFans just to actually give out more content and business information. I just use that platform. And, you know, I followed a lot of people, you know. A lot of people that I actually follow were actually doing it from a professional standpoint. You know, and I was like, you know what? You know, there's nothing wrong with actually me stepping on it. There's nothing wrong with
you ain't on there. Like, you know, get your credit right.
And all the time, too, as well, is that I tell people, go to my Instagram and I have like an OnlyFans bubble at the bottom. Just click on it. You're going to see all the information I talk about on my OnlyFans. You know, the business information, the credit. You know, I have 100 different ways people can make money. So, you know, I have a lot of information on it that I give out to the community just for a small price. I mean, at the end of the day, somebody doesn't have to pay me my mentorship fee or my consulting fee. They can just join my OnlyFans and they can do the work themselves. I'm going to lay out the platform. I mean, everybody has, you know, $35 a month. And, you know, just to be able to learn something.
You should.
Yeah, you really should. But no, be honest with you, everybody has. I mean,
you're right. Yeah.
Everybody really does. You know?
No, that's true.
It just depends on what they value and what they want to spend it on. You know?
Exactly.
I think that's key.
Okay, ladies. So he's not on OnlyFans, you know, doing anything, you know, provocative. Okay. So how can a regular person be the bank?
Yeah, so being the bank, this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. Everything actually starts with your credit. So, you know, you have to establish a great foundation with your credit report. You have to have a great actually credit score with your foundation. And when you have that, now you're able to actually go to banks and actually receive business lines of credit and business credit card off of the strength of your personal credit. Okay.
So your personal credit has to be good in order for you to get good business credit?
Yes. So business credit is in two different elements. It's you getting funding with your off your personal credit as a personal guarantee, and you getting funding strictly directly off of the business. You want to start as the personal guarantee actually first. It's easier because for you to get funding under the business, you got to have tax returns, you have to have income, all these different things that you can actually show legitimately, but your credit actually is going to be faster if you do it with your credit report. And when you have a personal guarantee for the that you're signing on behalf of these lines of credit, business credit card, that doesn't mean it shows up on your credit report. That's a big misconception. It shows up on your business credit report. That's how you can start building business credit. The inquiry just shows up on your personal credit report, which you actually can end up removing because it's not being reported to your personal credit report.
Okay, but how can you get it removed?
So there's several different variations that you can get removed. You know, a lot of people from, you know, back in the day, they'll call in and say, hey, you know, I didn't authorize that inquiry on my credit report. Go ahead and remove it. And because there's no account actually linked to it, nine times out of 10, the credit bureaus will actually remove it. You can actually send out, you know, dispute letters actually against those inquiries, and they can come off too. Oftentimes what you also can do, and this is something that's actually very, very strong that a lot of people actually don't know about, when you actually have your business credit, you can actually send your actual statement from your business credit report and say, hey, I actually got this card as a business credit card and I'm not using my personal credit. So it's a misconception because it's being reported here and not here. So go ahead and remove it. And we basically put that in a letter, and that comes off a lot quickly.
Really?
Because the credit bureaus, they're a computer system. It's not like a person like you and I typing on a computer, just trying to look and see how it works. It's a computer-generated system. So it works really successful that way, how you can move your inquiries.
Okay, but how long is this process like taking, though?
So typically when you move inquiries the right way, the fastest it can take is 72 hours. The longest it should take is 30 days. Now, if it's taking longer than that, somebody doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah. So it can happen that fast?
It can happen that fast. We do it all the time.
Wow. Okay. I mean, you putting out a lot, man. Because normally I hear 6 months, seven months.
It can go a lot faster. And you know, so credit is like, you know, the first element to answer your question about being the bank. So after you get your credit, and then now you get funding actually from your LLCs and everything too as well. If it's business line of credit or business credit cards, using your personal credit as a guarantee. Now you have to establish your structure. You have to understand that the only purpose of an LLC is for you to get funding. You're not supposed to build a business under an LLC because it doesn't have any significant protection to it whatsoever. There's no separation between you and your LLC, especially if you are the member of the LLC. That means that I can sue the LLC and sue you. There's no protection like there is if you have a corporation, a C corporation, and you have what's called errors and omissions insurance. So, you know, I know this dropping actually some more gems, but I need you to understand if you don't have the right structure, you can't be the bank. So you have to look at an LLC as a bank. Every LLC that you open up, that's only for funding. That's not for you to build your damn business.
So how much LLCs should a person have, like a business owner have?
Right. So this is my answer to the question. I get asked this all the time. If somebody had the opportunity to open up a Bank of America or Chase or Wells Fargo, every time you open up any bank, if you believe in banks, you would make money. How many would you open? Unlimited amount of banks, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. So that's the answer to the question. You should have unlimited LLCs. The purpose of an LLC is for you to be your bank, for you to utilize it to generate funding. That's it.
But what type of LLCs are we opening up?
So when you open up an LLC, it should be under a few different industries. Business consulting, it should be under actually management, or it can be under actually something called enterprise. Nothing actually in the ordinary that's going to be a risky business.
So three.
So only those three particular industries you want to look at, because when you go to the bank, they look at your industry because they pull with something called your NAICS code. And that code, NAICS code.
Okay.
And what that code is it determines, number one, it determines your fundability, how the bank is going to determine to fund you, determines your risk factor. If you're risky when it comes to business, so if you have like a business that's called credit repair, you better call that consulting. A business that's called adult entertainment, you better call it actually something education. If you have an industry in trucking, you better actually call that management. So the point I'm making, you have to give it the right actually name. It's going to not only help your how you're going to be bankable, it's also most importantly going to help your actual bank rating. Every time you actually open up a bank account, you're going to get a bank rating. It's going to determine about what your industry is in and even how much that you're depositing into the account or what you're not depositing to that bank account. So your bank rating actually does matter, and so does it matter about you being fundable with, you know, you being in a low-risk industry.
Wow. Yo, this man going over the baldy real quick. I got to keep that hat on. So what happens when we as regular people or business owners deposit our money in the bank?
So when you deposit your money, first of all, let's give a correction to that. There's no legal term for deposit when it comes to a bank. Every time you put money, every time you put money into the bank, is an investment because it's going on their asset class. It's going on their book.
Come on, dog.
It's going in the. It's going. In
Come
the,
on, dog.
Exactly. It's going onto their investment class. You do not own it.
When I put my money in the bank, I don't own it.
You don't own it at all.
But I can just pull up the Wells Fargo and see it there.
It's just a bunch of numbers on a piece of paper. I mean, I can prove it to you. If you go to the bank and deposit $100,000 to your account, go next day and try to take it out, see what they tell you. They're going to ask you for, you can do a cashier's check. They're going to tell you you can wire it, or they're going to have you set an appointment, even though you just deposited the money the day before, because they're taking your actual money and they're actual trading it. Itself on a daily basis. And what they're also doing outside of trading it is they're actually borrowing against it, using it as collateral. This is what being the bank is actually all about. So if it's a tier three bank, let's say if it's a bank that's a local credit union, and they go get $100,000, a bank is able to go get a loan 10 times the amount of what's invested, not deposited, of what's invested actually into their bank, right?
Hold on, the bank is getting a loan?
The bank is getting a loan.
How'd a bank getting a loan? So, they're giving loans.
Yes, let me explain that to you. So the bank is actually getting a loan from a tier one bank. So if it's a lower end bank, let's say if it's a local credit union, they're gonna get the loan, a line of credit from a tier one bank, right? So they're gonna go to Bank of America if it's like a local credit union and say, hey, I have $100,000 that was just invested into our bank, not deposited. And I went ahead and go and borrow $1 million line of credit actually against it, using that $100,000 as collateral. Even though that money maybe get turned out and moved around from the actual independent owner, it doesn't matter. Once it becomes directly in the account and now belongs actually to the bank. And you think that, the bank is actually giving you money back. They're actually giving you IOUs, they're giving you loans back. So they go get $1 million from Bank of America at like a 3-4% interest rate. They're going to turn around and go lend that money out at a 6-8% interest rate, higher than what they got out. And that money in between is how banks make trillions of dollars. So they're getting loans. So lower end banks, tier three banks, are getting loans from tier one banks. Now the top banks, Chase Bank, America, Wells Fargo, US Bank, they're getting the loans from the Federal Reserve. They just go higher. The Federal Reserve, they print money. So how are they saying that, you know, we're in a shortage of money, but money is being printed? Something's not adding up.
So is that what just happened the other day with that whole thing with Silicon Valley and...
Yeah, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, so certainly. So, I mean, so when a bank goes actually belly up, and this is a very unfortunate situation because a lot of the shareholders actually lost money, but the CEOs within the bank and a lot of the corporate executives, they sold all their shares like a few days before it happened. It's really unfortunate. So when a bank defaults on a loan, they can't actually pay their loans back. The Federal Reserve is going to do two things. Number one, they're going to take actually over the bank and put their name on it, or put another bank name on it to make you think somebody else owns it, and they're going to take ownership of the bank, or they'll shut the bank down actually completely. And that's what they do if they can't, you know, fill their loan. It usually happens on smaller banks because they can't, you know, handle the magnitude of the type of loans that they're taking out because they're bringing so much money in from, you know, investors. You know, people think they're depositing money to their account. You're really an investor. And they can't fulfill the loan to actually pay it back, so they're taking out bigger amounts. So that's kind of what happened with the whole Silicon Valley situation.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell, you want to get your brand out there to the world, well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Gray, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here's what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. Man, we got to make sure we protect this man, like, because he is dropping some bars out here out the gate. So explain using debt to pay for debt.
Yes. And you know, that's an interesting actually thing because, you know, we're always taught that, you know, don't rob Peter to pay Paul. Don't use debt to pay for debt. Banks are doing it all the time. So, you know, why can't we do it? Because we're not educated enough to understand how to do it. So every time that you bring in any debt from your credit cards, from a line of credit, a loan, anything of that nature, you need to break it up in three categories, 40, 40, 20. So that's why I tell people all the time, 40, 40, 20. The first 40% that you're going to take from the debt, you're going to put it in a pot. That's going to be your bank. We're going to come back to that. Mm-hmm. The second 40%, which is debt, you're going to use that to actually go into your investments. Real estate, trading, if you're sophisticated enough to get into it. If you're going to have a business that you want to start, it's going to come directly from debt. Also, too, as well, if you want to lend money, you want to lend money from debt. Because of any of those things, if it comes to lending money, buying real estate, anything of that nature, and I'm not a tax professional, you should consult with your tax professionals before you actually get this. My tax professionals, you know, they allowed me to actually do this. So shout out to all mine. But I can tell you this, that if you utilize debt to pay for something and you lose money, you're able to actually write it off on your taxes and get a certain percentage of it actually back. Versus if you use cash to pay for something, to buy a business or to invest in something, you're not going to be able to get nothing back whatsoever at all. So you want to utilize debt to actually go and buy things that's going to give you a significant amount of cash flow. That's the second 40%. So I said real estate, lending, obviously investing if you're sophisticated enough, going to trading, things of that nature. But also that last 20%. Mm-hmm. That last 20% is something that you can keep for yourself.
Okay.
So that part of your debt, you keep that 20% for yourself. You can live on it. You can party. You can hang out. You can do whatever you want to do with it. That's perfectly fine. But that's reserved to you. Going back to the first 40%, because a lot of people are thinking, well, hold on, what do you do with that? So you're going to do something that's called buying money. Which you guys all do, you're going to do something that's called buying money.
Buying money.
Buying money. So how do you buy money? Well, first and foremost, you know, that's the same thing I was talking about, how people, you know, they'll get authorized users placed onto your credit report. You can have family members that would place you onto their credit card if they're in good standing and their credit utilization rate is actually low. They had a credit card for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. If you can trust them, that's good. Or you can actually go out there and pay a professional that actually does this for a living. And there's tons of different websites out there that do it. Tradeline Supply. Shout out to TradelineSupply.com. It's a great website you could go to go get authorized users.
Tradeline Supply.
TradelineSupply.com.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, that's a great website you can go to. And at that website, you have all these actually, not only business owners, but just people who understand credit that will put their credit card actually on that site, and they will charge people to place them on their credit card as an authorized user.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Absolutely. And so a lot of people thinking that, okay, well, you know, it takes money to make money. No, it takes you to put money into credit to make even more money. So we're back on the first 40%, because this is what it really comes about being the bank. This is what has me excited. So you're not only just paying for authorized users to make sure your credit score actually goes up. You can actually start rebuilding your credit with that money in that 40%. You can start doing something called getting secured loans. And one of the biggest secure loans you can get is Navy Federal. Shout out to Navy Federal, man. I mean, they're...
So secure loans, isn't that what you get like when you don't have good credit?
Yes.
Because that's what I first got when I started off. My credit was like in the -4.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, you do that. You do that to start when you don't have good credit, but you also do it if you're looking to establish and build more credit. So I mentioned Navy Federal for a reason.
Okay.
Because they have something that's called the pledge loan. Now, the pledge loan is with Navy Federal is that you can put any amount down. I suggest people start with $5,000, $5,000, $100,000, $10,000, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe you're taking from that 40% that you already have in that pot that you have from debt, so you have money to play with.
Yeah, but the average person ain't just got five bands to put up.
Right, right.
So, okay, so let me ask you this, right? What if I'm, you know, a normal 9-to-5-er,
right,
and I have my 401k?
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's a good avenue to go ahead and make a play like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you know what you're doing and you have somebody teaching you the right thing, absolutely. I mean, don't just go out there blindly. We just like trusting somebody to do it. I mean, if that person has, you know, obviously receipts and documentation, they've helped other people and then they've done it with themselves, then absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because because first of all, cash is not really real. Cash is trash. Credit is king. Every time you have cash, multiply it by 10. That's how much you have in available credit. Every time you have cash, multiply it by 10. That's you having available credit. You have to just have to find out how to access it. And so if I'm pulling from my 401k, or I'm pulling from my business credit cards, or I'm pulling actually from loans from a bank, and I put it actually in this 40% pot, I can use that debt to go actually achieve more debt if I know exactly what to do with it. So as I'm pulling this debt, that first 40%, I can do the pledge loan. You know, I can go get with Navy Federal. If I don't have Navy Federal, I can go reach out to somebody, you know, in the credit industry or somebody in my family. Somebody has Navy Federal around. Just go ask 10 people.
Yeah,
I guarantee one person will have it or don't know somebody that has it. They can get you on, because you can't just walk to that bank and just get on with Navy Federal.
Okay.
You have to know somebody to get on. So you get on with Navy Federal, and you do what's called the pledge loan. Let's say you start with $5,000. So you give Navy Federal $5,000 for a pledge loan. What they're going to do is the unthinkable. In 3 to 4 days, they're going to give you the $5,000 back.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, if you give $5,000 to any bank for a secured loan, they're going to keep it until you actually pay it off. Navy Federal will give it back to you. But when they give it back to you, you now have a $5,000 loan that's reporting to your personal credit, and it's open. So the utilization on that $5,000 is really high. It's at 100%. So what you do is you get that $5,000 they just gave back to you, and you're going to pay off anywhere from $4,500 to $4,800. Why not the whole thing? Because you want to show this small balance on there, because when it reports to your credit report, it's going to shoot your score up. And not only that, it's going to build you a foundation.
So you're taking the five that they gave you, you use to pay it back. Exactly. You don't take the five and go do nothing with it.
Right. You don't go do nothing. Because remember, you had the $5,000 originally yourself. You give it to them, they give it back, and then you basically give it back to them. Now, because you gave it back to them, right? Now, you still have access to it. You can still pull for whatever you want to, but you want to kind of wait to report to your credit report for you.
Yes.
Because here's the beautiful thing. You can pull that $5,000 from that you paid off, that you paid all the way down, and go do another pledge loan.
When, okay, So like when you finish paying it off, they give you back the five that you put in.
Oh no, they give you the 5,000 immediately. So back to the example, so we can be very clear with the listeners. Mm-hmm. If I start with the 5,000, I pulled it from a credit card, I give it to Navy Federal for this pledge loan. They're gonna mm-hmm. give it back to me in 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. I haven't paid it off yet. They gave me the money back.
Uh huh.
Okay. Now the money's sitting directly back with me, but I have a $5,000 loan on my credit that's open. So I don't want it to be open. I want to show that I've made payments to it, or it's 95% paid off. It's 95% paid off. That's a 5% utilization on it. Anything on your credit that's below 20% utilization is sexy. That's what you want. That's going to not only give you a great score, it's going to give you that foundation.
Yeah.
We talked about that credit foundation at the beginning of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're doing. You're building positive accounts on your credit that's showing that you can be fundable, you can be trusted. So here's the trick with Navy Federal, and other banks do this too as well. So if I pay that $5,000 down, I pay it down 85 or 95%, mm-hmm. right? Then I can go to Navy Federal and I can go apply for a credit card. Navy Federal is going to give me twice the amount of what I actually put down for that pledge loan for a credit card. So hold on. I used $5,000 and basically flipped it to $10,000. That's not correct. You did it to $15,000 because you still got access to that five.
Mm.
So you can do that with any amount, and you can keep to continue to move it. I know people that have done pledge loans with $100,000. I've actually done it with over $250,000.
Wow.
And the beautiful thing is that it goes on your credit report.
Yeah.
So it posts there. Now you have something on your credit report shows that you paid off a $250,000 loan. So if Navy Federal is willing to give you two times of that amount in credit versus personal credit and business credit because they see that on your credit report, what are other banks willing to do? They're willing to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So you can utilize debt to go get more debt. But every time you get debt, you got to break it down to 40, 40, 20.
Yeah.
Every single time. So you're not only just getting doing the pledge loan, you're not only just getting authorized users, you're also getting more LLCs. You're also getting what's called age corporations, shelf corporations.
Yes. I heard you talk about that before when I was scrolling on your page.
Uh-huh.
Go a little bit more into that. Like, what's an age corporation? And when should a person get it?
Yes. So first of all, an age corporation is a company that was not established yesterday. The company could be 2 years old, 5 years old, 10, 15, 20 years. It doesn't matter. It was not established yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about having an age corporation is it shows history that the company has been in business for quite a while. You want to get something that's 10 years or over. When should somebody get it? Immediately. As soon as you can get your hands actually on it. As soon as you can get your hands on it, you should definitely go get it. There's, again, tons of websites out there. You go get age corporations.
If I'm a videographer,
uh-huh.
I'm going to get an age corporation?
Yeah. So the purpose of you getting the age corporation is you want to get a company that actually has not been started yesterday. It's actually had history to it, because that's one of the things that helps with your bank rating. Is this company new or is it older? If it's older, that helps your bank rating. Now your fundability actually comes up. But I want to say something about an age corporation. You don't just want to go see it on a website and go buy it. Mm-hmm. You want to go hire what's called a corporate attorney. Okay, as you also want to be able to make sure that corporate attorney can actually investigate that corporation, make sure there's no debt with that actual particular corporation. Want to make sure that the officers and the CEOs, the people who run the corporation, they don't have any negligence going on with the law or any negative business that they're doing, because you don't want to buy somebody else's actually problem. When you buy a company, sitting on the shelf, want to make sure they're not just giving it to you because of the big lawsuit hanging over it.
Yes.
You don't want to buy somebody's headache. So when you get that age corporation, you want to make sure it's clean. Now, what you can also do, you can also buy an age corporation that already has credit on it. That's the real sauce. So it already has actually loans paid off actually on it. That's the secret sauce right there. So if you get an age corporation, find one that already has actually debt that's on it that's already been paid off. And so when you go to the bank and your name is actually on the seat, your name is the owner, and you go apply for credit, they're going to not only pull your personal credit, but they're going to pull the credit of that EIN, of that business. They're going to say, oh, wow, that business actually achieved actually loans, has paid it off. We're willing to give the business, not you, the business actually a loan because of that. So you can go get an age corporation anytime. Remember, age corporations are not cheap. They are expensive. That's why you utilize your debt to actually pay for them.
Okay. Wow. So you say business funding.
Yes.
Right. But this is something that we have to pay back.
Absolutely.
How soon do we got to start, making these payments?
So again,
if the business is not doing well right off the start?
Great question. See, that's why you have banks. You have your LLCs. The purpose of your LLCs are for you to get funding under them. And as you achieve more additional LLCs, as well as age corporations, you get more funding. You're going to pay back debt with debt. Let me tell you how powerful that is. When you utilize debt to pay for the debt that you originated before, and you do it in a quick manner, and typically the time frame I teach and I show people, we do it in 90 days. It does not take that long because you're using that first 40% to put back into buying credit, basically buying money to be able to turn around to actually go get more funding from those other LLCs or other corporations. So you can use that additional funding to pay back your debt. Now, when you pay it back, you have access to it, right?
Hold on. So you're saying I'm getting funding.
Yes.
Right? That means I'm in debt.
That's correct.
But then that funding that I just got, I can get more funding to pay that back?
That's correct. But you have to do it under a different entity. So it's not like, so if you do it. So that's why you have multiple different LLCs and multiple different corporations.
This is what like Robert Kiyosaki was talking about, like why he like $4 billion in debt.
Shout out to Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, and I actually met him in actually Arizona. Great, great guy, great person. But one thing I can tell you guys that's really strong is that all the wealthy people understand how to utilize debt. We all understand it because that's how banking system operates. That's how the world actually goes around. Debt is actually the key to life, but you have to understand there's good debt and bad debt.
Yes, yes.
Bad debt is if you're paying for it. Good debt is if somebody else is paying for it. So there's nothing wrong with debt as long as somebody else is paying for it, even if that is more debt. That is perfectly actually fine.
So open up that other entity. Uh-huh. Like let's say, you know, me and my guy, Robbie Joe, that's you know what I'm saying? We open up the Robbie Joe's I Talk Gray Studios.
Right.
You know, maybe it's moving a little bit slow, but we open up another entity to get funding from that to pay off the first one because, that you know, correct. Maybe we only get in one or two couple clients.
That's correct. But see, the thing about it is that, remember, these LLCs that you're opening up and getting funding under, you're typically not building any business under it. You're building business specifically under C corporations. And I would definitely want to address that because, you know, a C corporation, not an S corporation. S stands for stupid. There's no protection off of it. You want a C corporation. Why? An S corporation, you're only going to have 100 shareholders.
Okay.
All those shareholders have to be United States citizens. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, the shareholders own the company, not the CEO. So if you're the CEO of an S corporation or C corporation, you don't own it. You are a dang employee of the company, the person who owns the shareholders. So a lot of times, a lot of the CEOs are shareholders. But if I have a C corporation, I can have an LLC. I can have a corporation. Or I can even have a trust that is not even here in the United States. It could be a foreign trust or a foreign LLC or a foreign corporation for tax purposes can actually be the major shareholder in my C corporation. So this is how a lot of people end up not getting sued. This is how a lot of people are able to not really own to hide their money, but also to be able to protect their assets because they don't own anything. It's all about own nothing but control everything. You can't own nothing.
So if I don't own it, how can I control it?
So you control it because remember you control the LLCs. You control the trusts. You control the corporations, and these entities are the major shareholders in the corporation. So the shareholders own the corporation. Mm-hmm. So if you own a trust, whether that's a domestic or foreign trust, domestic here in the United States, a foreign, meaning you got it registered in Dubai, somewhere out the country, but you are a trustee of that actual particular trust. That means that you control that trust. Basically, you own the trust, right? So if you own and control that trust, it means you own and control everything that trust owns.
I thought you just said you don't control nothing.
No. You don't own anything, but you control it all. So it's
but control. Yeah. Okay, yes, exactly. Sorry.
It's own nothing and control everything.
Oh, own nothing and control everything.
That's it, 1,000%. And so the key thing is that, now again, we got to talk about this. Why would you run a business under a C corporation? Not only for just particular tax purposes, but also you want to get something when you have your corporation. If you are an employee of your corporation, you want to make yourself look legitimate. Put yourself actually on payroll. I told you you don't have a business until you have payroll employees. Add yourself as actually an employee. You can't do that with an LLC.
So you put yourself on as an employee?
Yes, put yourself on as an employee. You can put yourself as a CEO, secretary, vice president, the janitor.
What type of payroll system would you be using? Like something like Gusto?
You can use Gusto. You can also, there's tons of different actually things out there you can use. But outside of Gusto and outside of those big payroll companies, the main point is that you want to be on a payroll system where you are actually paying yourself some money. And you want to pay yourself the least amount of money, because the less money that you pay yourself, less you have to pay taxes on yourself via the W-2. You still want to be a living person inside the company, even if you pay yourself a small amount. You want your company to be bringing in all the money because your company can do write-offs. You as a person, you can't. So all the money should really be with your company, specifically with your corporation.
But then how would I get money to get the Lambo, the Bentley, trips to Dubai?
Great question. So you can do those. You can do those as business expense. So you can go buy your Lambo under your corporation. You can go take actual trips under your corporation. But let me just actually say this. You don't have generational wealth whatsoever actually directly at all unless you own things under a trust. So that means that if you're going to go buy a car, your car needs to be under a trust. If you're going to go actually go buy a plane, your plane should actually be under trust. Now, your trust can own the corporation. Your trust can own the LLCs. It can own the other businesses. But everything needs to be actually funneled and ran particularly through a trust, which is actually key.
So, okay. So then what's the importance of like the Dun & Bradstreet report?
Now, that's just a common misconception. So a lot of people, they talk about this Dun & Bradstreet report because,
don't you need that for the business?
You don't need it at all. So here's the thing, and here's another big hack. You know, when it comes to Dun & Bradstreet, you know, only certain things are actually supported. You can go have a good Dun & Bradstreet score. You can go get a gas card for your business. That is significant. You can go get a credit card from Best Buy. Mm-hmm. You can go get a credit card from Walmart or even a credit card from Staples. That's all good, but all those things are going to max out each at $20,000 to $30,000 in funding versus you can get unlimited amounts with the banks if you're using not only yourself as a personal guarantee, but really if you're going on the business actually itself. Yeah. And when banks are pulling actually your credit for funding, they're not looking at your Dun & Bradstreet, ladies and gentlemen. They're looking at your business Experian. They're looking at your business Equifax. They're looking at your Moody's report.
Moody's,
M-O-O-D-Y-S. Everybody
Moody's
look that
report.
Up.
What Moody's is a report. Moody's report?
Your Moody's report takes the analysis of all your business credit bureaus, and it tells you your risk factor when it comes to you being able to borrow certain money. It's gonna also actually report how much money that you're actually bringing into your business because you obviously have to report that because you should be paying taxes actually on your business. It's also going to be giving you not only your risk factor, but it's going to give you your bankable rating. And this is what banks look at. So banks don't just look at your Moody's report. They also look at your business Experian, which is called your IntelliScore. Not your Dun & Bradstreet, your IntelliScore.
IntelliScore.
Damn. Yeah, they look at that. And that's how they determine your fundability for your business. Not your Dun & Bradstreet. Nobody's getting $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million loan because they have a perfect Dun & Bradstreet score. I'm sick of gurus talking about that. Okay, you're getting significant levels of funding because your business Experian is actually high with your IntelliScore, as well as actually your Moody's report looks fresh.
Damn. Yo, I hope y'all are getting all these gems because he's going way above and beyond. So I heard you say something on your page, right? Don't buy black, turn the business black.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what do you mean by that?
And this is something that I share this with people all the time. I mean, a lot of people, you know, especially us melanated individuals, we say, let me go support you. It's a black business. Let me go support you. This is black. Let me go actually do that, right? And that is key. But I don't focus on that. I'm like, you know what? Instead of us trying to focus on just buying and supporting each other, let's do that. But let's have a bigger focus. Let's start turning companies black. How do we do that? Okay. All we got to do is start buying up all the shares of the company. So if somebody has a Louis Vuitton wallet or bag, or Versace actually purse or sunglass, or God forbid something in Balenciaga, I'm going to ask them, do you have shares in actually the company? Because if you don't, you shouldn't be wearing it. Because if you have shares in actually those companies, or in a company that actually owns the majority shares in those actual designer companies, you're going to get what's called a dividend check every 90 days from that actual corporation. So if I'm wearing anything designer, you know.
All those companies don't give dividend checks though.
Yeah, so all those companies do give dividend checks if you're invested into the right stock portfolio directly with them. Yes, they definitely do. That's something that's very strong intelligence to understand. You got to make sure that you go into it the right way. It's part of the significant seven streams of income, like I like to say. But yeah, dividend income is that when you're getting shares actually from a company. And when I say turn a business black, start buying all the shares. See, us melanated people, we have a $2 trillion spending power. Went up according to the GDP. And so here's the actual thing. Everybody complains, not just everybody. I'm talking about our people.
No, here, of course. Right? We're talking about us here.
And
right
so
now.
What it comes down to it is that if we started actually buying up all the shares in all these companies, every single company would be melanated. We would control this whole universe. Instead that a lot of people, they like to have spinning rims. They like to have the shiny objects. Nobody looks at to having some type of control in it. I notice I didn't say ownership because when I'm buying shares, I'm not looking to own a piece of the business. I'm looking to kind of control a piece of the business. So when I say that you don't get dividends unless you do it the right way, You got to go and buy it the right way under the right entity. You should not be buying any shares under your name. You should be buying shares under a private equity group that you start, which is a corporation, or you should be buying shares under your trust that you actually own.
Really?
Absolutely.
So all the stock that I got, the TD Ameri- I should. Damn. What the heck?
And so, but you know what? And there's a way around that, King, but at the same exact time, you can always transition the shares that you have into another owner. So basically, it's basically called a sale, right? So if you if you would sell your shares back to the company, they're going to give you money. But you can share your shares to a quote-unquote a different entity, that entity that you can actually control. You have an attorney draw up the paperwork. Hey, this is my name. My first and last. I'm going to sell these shares to this trust.
Mm-hmm.
A trust is a private document. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who actually owns that trust, but you control the trust. So you create a bill of sale. Right, directly for it, and say, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually sell these shares for X amount of disclosed actual amount. Remember, you control it, so that's the actual situation. And then, boom, now, at the same time, the ownership has actually transitioned to now the owner of the shares that you had is now the trust. And now you, as the individual person, you don't own them anymore.
Damn.
So there's a significant way to actually go about that and doing it. And I teach people to do that all the time. Just go to my OnlyFans, you'll see it. but I do give that information. But yeah, most importantly though, you can transition things out of your name. You don't want nothing in your name. It doesn't hold any value. There's no protection. There's no actually tax implication of it as well.
No, I mean, you're right. I guess that's why they was trying to, you know, turn his name from Kunta to Toby. You know what I'm saying? That's another conversation.
Absolutely.
Sir. Brother, this was so awesome.
Absolutely, man.
But let everybody know, like, where can they get your products from? Where can they get in contact with you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, all you guys have to do is go to at Dr. Credit. Spell out Dr. and Credit with two T's. Go to at Dr. Credit on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. You can find me everywhere. Mostly on Instagram. That's where everything is. So go to my Instagram, or you can also go to drcreditwith2t's.com. drcreditwith2t's.com. You see all the services I provide on there. And you also, guys, everybody here should go to Amazon and go get my freaking book right here, Be the Bank. I'm going to tell you guys right now, which is extremely important actually about this,
mm-hmm.
is that I don't just go in more detail what this conversation was about today.
Mm-hmm.
I also go in more detail what the billionaires who taught me essentially how to be the bank utilizing my credit of what they actually gave me information on about the significance of having a trust and why you need a C corporation, why you use LLCs as banks. I go into all that detail. It's just 77 pages. It's very simple. Pretty soon I am coming out with an audiobook for it. So for those of you guys who don't like to read, I'm coming for you guys. I got you 1,000%. But yeah, I definitely want to go get it. It's actually on Amazon, or you can go to my Instagram if you want it on your phone and just click the link in my bio. You can go purchase the ebook. It's very, very least expensive, guys, and the most important, you guys will enjoy it. But you don't just want to just read it. You do want to apply it.
Yes, take action.
You gotta
yes.
take action. And a lot of people, this is why I don't believe in the word scam, because here's my definition of success. It's knowledge plus application times loss equals success. Knowledge plus application times loss. You're going to have to lose money. You're going to have to lose some friends. You're going to lose some associates. You're going to gain new different people. You're going to lose. And it's okay, because you're going to win directly from it. It's going to equal success. But you can actually narrow down the losses you take by taking on information from somebody who's actually successful like myself. Not only reading the books I put out, go to my Instagram, you know, look at the stories I put out, look at all the videos I share, subscribe to my OnlyFans, get more information, or just shoot me a DM. I'm the one that hits you back. I don't have no autoresponder.
Okay, so that was you. That was you in the DM.
Yep, it is definitely
okay.
Me.
Well, how much for the book?
I always respond. So the ebook actually itself online itself is actually $35. And also if you get on Amazon, I do have a hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
The hard copy is $45. But this book actually on Amazon is $38.50. It's a little bit actually more just for shipping and stuff of that nature.
Okay,
but,
so maybe we can try to set up an affiliate play, you know, for the people that's only going to be subscribing and tuning into this episode, making sure y'all get this information, because wow, what he just dropped here is so vital and we definitely need it in the community.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But brother, I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you.
Let everybody know one more time where they can find you at.
Yes, just at Dr. Credit, guys. I mean, just drcredit.com. That's our website here. At Dr. Credit on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, everything. You guys can always actually find me there. That's most important. And just shoot me a DM on any of those platforms. I'll definitely get back to you. But specifically, if you really want all the sauce and a lot of information, go to my Instagram.
Okay,
a lot of stuff is there.
Thank you once again, brother.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, man. Blessings.
Oh, of course, of course. And I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. Got a huge yacht event. Huge yacht event for,
yes,
for entrepreneurs. And before we leave, I do want to say something, guys, is that always make sure that you are in the room. Always make sure that you are connecting with people that are greater actors than yourself. So when you get invitations and opportunities to actually do this, remember, your network is your net worth, and you're one person away to achieving the success you always wanted. Appreciate you for having me, King.
No, facts, 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 man. You already heard what he said, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams, I Talk Gray, and we out of here. Yeah. Appreciate-